Welcome to the Brian D. O'Leary Show. This is your home for serious content amidst an unserious world. All right, and welcome back to the Brian D. O'Leary Show. BrianDOleary.com is where you go to sign up for our email list. Coming at you every day, whether it's email, podcasts, pretty much every day. Talked yesterday about consistency, and I think that was yesterday. Anyway, talked about it a lot, about consistency here as far as doing your business, being around your family, just be consistent with what you do. And that was yesterday, one of these things that I do, I like to call, I try and do it at least once a week, called the Daily Three. Just bring up 3 points that I've been thinking about that might help the folks out there. And it's not what I want to go into today. I want to take this in a little bit different direction today, because as I have said in the past, this is a show that, well, I kind of talk about pretty much anything I like and run across. And so maybe that's why the Daily Three thing has become a nice thing for folks. But today I want to talk about a podcast I watched or listened to. Well, I actually watched and listened to it. I'll have a link to the show on the show notes. I watch it on Odyssey. If I watch podcasts, it's where I go. Because, called Crisis Point, and I've mentioned it on the show in the past, it's hosted by Eric Sammons of Crisis Magazine. And friend of the show, Andy Flattery, was on the show, probably end of May or something like that. And it was a good show. And actually, I'm going to be a guest on Andy's show here coming up soon. So we'll have the links when that comes out, and we'll send you Andy's way. But anyway, I was listening and watching kind of that podcast with Andy. Andy's been on there a couple times, but I don't know if it's the queue or I queued it up or whatever. The next podcast I watched with Eric Sammons was with Taylor Marshall. And I'm a big fan of Taylor Marshall. Listen to a lot of his podcasts. Now my podcast queue is a lot bigger with a lot more people, just by, I don't know, nature of doing this. And I have seemingly less time to listen to all the podcasts I once did, but I still keep Dr. Marshall in the rotation. And this was a good podcast. I didn't know what to expect, but this is the title of this is Taylor Marshall for President? ? And Taylor Marshall, Catholic apologist and teacher. Anyway, we'll have links to his website on the show notes page as well. But he's a sharp guy, passionate guy, and he's right around my age, I gather. I don't know exactly, but we're a guy worth listening to in this culture. And he hinted at, if not outright declared, well, he declared that he's going to run for president of the United States, but hasn't filed the paperwork, doesn't know if he's going to go in a particular party and go through that whole primary process or run as a third party, independent, or whatever. That's kind of beside the point. In this presidential politics game, for good reason, really, we tend to be attracted or repelled by the Republican or Democratic candidates. And this year's no different. At the top of the Republican, whatever, list, former President Donald J. Trump, probably running second, is Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. And I do know why, but I think DeSantis should be polling a little higher, but the whole political landscape in the United States is messed up. You have Joe Biden, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. over there. He's the current president of the United States, of course. I don't know how that happened. Well, I do know how that happened. Oh, boy. Not something worth getting into. Read Molly Hemingway's book, Rigged. It's a good one. But he's at the top of the ticket and seemingly the only candidate other than Robert Francis Kennedy Jr., who, if push comes to shove, I mean, he's a way better candidate than Joe Biden. But he's pulling it remarkably, like 20%, which I think is generally pretty high against the sitting president, nowhere near as high as what Pat Buchanan did to the fortunes of a first George H.W. Bush presidency in 1992, a legitimate challenger on very reasonable platform. Not to say that Kennedy doesn't have a reasonable platform. He is awesome when it comes to all these the COVID mandates and the vaccine mandates and all this stuff, because it is supposedly a free country, and he's trying to remind us of that. But you know, some of his other like economic ideas, and I think he's probably going to end up being like a social justice warrior type fella anyway. But still, a remarkable guy, and he's turned around his life remarkably, I think, in a positive way, based on his, I think he would admit, highly misspent youth. But whatever, he's probably not going to be president, but I'd like to see him, his voice out there. Another fellow who admits that he's not, more than likely, not going to win the presidency, but he wants to throw his hat in the ring because of the ideas. And that's really, I think, ultimately why Ron Paul ran in 08 and 12. And I thought he was the best choice, to be honest. And now with the Taylor Marshall, sorry, I meant to mention that the guy that didn't think he was going to win was Taylor Marshall. But Taylor Marshall has his hat in the ring. He's not going to declare, I guess, until the July 4th weekend officially. And we'll find out if he's going to run via a party or whatever, and he'll have the platform all out for you and whatever. But anyway, in this podcast with Sammons, he brought up some very interesting points that I think might go underappreciated by most political junkies and most people in America, because this guy's not a politician at all. But what he did have to say, I took to it, the messaging. And I didn't think I was going to at the beginning because, I didn't know what his messaging was going to be, but I will paraphrase rather quickly that. So he notices, as we all should, that our government spends money frivolously on everything, pretty much everything. And money goes to these pet interests of certain politicians and bureaucrats and all that, right? So the money's being spent, whether we like it or not. I don't like it at all. I think that the government, if it exists, should be entirely limited and more limited than even, say, a quote-unquote minarchist might say. You know, and this kind of political discussion we talk about more in depth at times over on the Natural Order podcast. But this is a topic here that, you know, that has more of a like a libertarian flavor, that podcast, because, you know, I'm adjacent to libertarianism to some degree, because I think they have a lot of great ideas. I don't agree with a lot of their conclusions. And this particular podcast kind of hammered at home why. It's like, well, this money is going to be spent. I might agree in a perfect world that this money should not be spent, doesn't need to be spent, all this stuff. We just return more money or let the citizens keep more of their money. In the form of the confiscatory taxes that they take from us. Yeah, that, granted, yeah, I would love all that. But we're spending the money anyway. So why not spend it on things that are positive for the culture? We spend it, not we, they, the government, spends money on things that are profoundly, profoundly negative for the culture. And here on this show, the Brian D. O'Leary Show, our goal is to promote serious content amidst this unserious culture that we exist within. And like I said the other day, culture is going to go on with us or without us. Without you, without me, it's going to continue. So why not, at least temporarily, why not spend money on positive things? Intact families. Why don't they get bonuses as opposed to families torn asunder by whatever means, you know, usually negative means. The perverse incentives to be a single parent with lots of children that you can't afford. Why not give that extra money toward, you know, people who are actually trying to promote family and promote culture? Well, that's a good idea. If that money's already going to be spent, send it somewhere else. Granted, you're going to leave some of those people behind, but having been involved with a lot of this stuff, with quote unquote helping the poor, a lot of these government program, pseudo-government programs, nonprofits firmly attached at the hip to government and government funding for their mere existence, this is an enabling culture. It doesn't, you know, on the surface, yeah, throw money at the problem, sounds good. But the same thing kind of goes with the public schooling. I have friends that say, well, I I would say they've spent way too much money on the government schools. Other people, friends of mine even, say, no, we need to throw more money at the problem. The problem is we haven't even come close to spending enough money. And to me, that's insane. It's bizarre that you would even come to that conclusion based on the malfeasance that goes on in these government schools. And yeah, I was a product of that stuff for a long time. And I worked in the government schools for a long time. We have children go to the government schools. We have other children that will never step foot in one, God forbid, in their entire life, because it's a profoundly negative institution. And, you know, I get it. I get why people send their children there. We have three children in government schools. It's hard not to, but that's not a positive way to spend our money, the society's money. And the problem is we live in kind of what's called a democracy. And I've heard it said in a democracy, it's kind of like two wolves and a sheep arguing over or discussing what's for dinner. Well, it's sheep. Look out, buddy. So, and oftentimes people like you, people like me, we're the sheep in this situation. We have no say. And even though we, you know, say in that situation, we're a third of the quote unquote electorate, well, that third has no seat at the table. They're going to get devoured. Anyway, so my point being, as far as this whole discussion goes, Taylor Marshall for president, his ideas are strong for people like us, or people like me, I should say. I think a lot of people are sympathetic to my point of view, whether you agree with entirely what I have to say or not. And I don't know. I'm not going to be endorsing anyone for president of the United States. I just find that a foolish enterprise. But I would say, and I would send you toward Dr. Taylor Marshall for at least a new perspective on what's going on out there in the culture, and how we can change the dialogue to some degree and change what is it actually that we want out of this society. Because like I said, this society is totally devolved. And furthermore, Dr. Marshall says he probably not going to win. I mean, it's pretty clear based on any historical and or current data that's out there. A guy like him is not going to win in the United States. But even though he has maybe the most cogent or coherent thought pattern, whether you agree with it or not, it's there. But what do we want out of our culture? And perhaps I've buried the lead a little bit. I with Dr. Marshall, I said it earlier, but he comes from a profoundly Catholic perspective and a traditionalist apostolic Catholicism, and not being lukewarm, as is said in the Book of Revelation. So in the Book of Revelation or Apocalypse, or whatever you want to call it, chapter 3, verse 16, "But because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will begin to vomit thee out of my mouth." We have a lot of lukewarm people, this is particularly in Christian church, which this passage is talking about, the Catholic Church, and in politics, in the secular realm. There's still a lot of lukewarm people here. And you can't be lukewarm. Like it says, be either hot or cold. I don't care if you're cold. I don't care if you're hot. Just don't be lukewarm. Take a position. Don't just go along with the culture. And I don't know if he particularly talks about this, but that's the perspective I think that some of us want out of this whole thing. It's never, I think what happens in the realm of politics is that there's so much compromise, and we should not compromise at all. There's a great book that I recommend to a lot of people. There's probably a couple of them. It's a good place to start is this one called Start With No by a fellow named Jim Camp. And I believe I've talked about him on this show before. And I got introduced to him through a program. Ben Settle talks about him a lot. And I got some interviews, several hours of interviews with Jim Camp. And then I, of course, bought a couple of the Jim Camp books separately, but it's all good stuff. He's not lukewarm. He has a vision. Is a mission and purpose in a negotiation. This is about a negotiation book. And you don't want to compromise, ever. You want to lead the other side to the vision, have a common vision. start with a mission and a purpose. Anyway, so that's, I mean, that's what this candidacy of Taylor Marshall, that's why I'm kind of excited about it. I don't know that it's going to go anywhere, but I'm excited about it to see if he gets any traction at all in the culture, because he has a message for us if we're serious Christians, Catholics in particular. And, you know, I think it's certainly well worth at least looking into him. Now, there was an article on Crisis Magazine by a fellow named Kennedy Hall, who's actually a Canadian guy, if I recall. But he wrote a little passage in this article. It says Catholics have become so demoralized by the political process that they have been accustomed to supporting lukewarm Protestants who say witty things about wokeness in debates as if they might be the next Holy Roman Emperor. And so, like, yeah, he talked about that same particular reference, that same passage that I was talking about. And that's the thing. We compromise. We compromise with our people, our candidates, all this stuff. We shouldn't, because these people are going to lead us astray, the lukewarm people. Now, you can have disagreements over theology or whatever, but that's actually beside the point, because if you were lukewarm about your beliefs and your mission, your vision for the world, then you're just one of them. And if you're not lukewarm, if you're hot for something or even cold for something, frankly, you can be on my team. I'll be on your team. Might disagree a little bit, but you're on my team. We talked about this a few weeks ago. I want you on my team in the game of life. If you're one of these people who are serious, if you're not lukewarm, too many lukewarm people out there. So yeah, and I think I mentioned Pat Buchanan in this show a little earlier. And this messaging is, well, not entirely Buchanan-like. It comes from the same kind of place in the heart. We are, a lot of us, as Buchanan said, are conservatives of the heart, whether we know it or not. We're not liberals of the heart, progressives of the heart. We want something, we crave something good and real and permanent. And I, again, getting back to Marshall, that is what he is advocating here. And I don't, like, it's too bad that people like him and people like Ron Paul of, you know, a decade ago or more, that they talk serious, they talk sense. You know, Ron Paul was, you know, particularly talking about the economics and the foreign policy part of the whole political realm. Marshall here is talking about culture, almost outside of politics, but where we can use our political influence if we gain power. And that's really, I think, the only way things are going to change. I really do. I'm not particularly interested in getting into the weeds of the politics myself. I will support people like Taylor Marshall. I'm not going to endorse anyone for anything anymore. I'm done with that. But I will support him, and I will support the messaging that I see. I will, if another Ron Paul comes around, or like a Rand Paul, pretty good. Thomas Massey, pretty good in most things. Frankly, Ron DeSantis is pretty good in a lot of things. But I just don't think that these people have a chance. So what do we do? Do we go to battle? I guess this ultimate question. Do we go to battle politically over this? I don't know, but I think that the politics is a good avenue to get the messaging out, especially in these presidential cycles. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I don't think Taylor Marshall can win the presidency. I hope and pray that he does. I really do. If he ultimately files the paperwork necessary, he'd be the best candidate that I've seen. So, but it's probably not going to happen. But his message needs to get out. And there's going to be people out there going to say, oh, it's going to be like some Christo fascist state, whatever, that he's advocating. And no, because you don't know anything about what fascism is. Fascism, particularly unique to Italy and Mussolini and that whole era, a little bit in other parts of Europe at the time in the 1920s and 30s, a little bit of the 1940s, but it doesn't exist. And, oh, yeah. Well, fascism is a melding between government and industry. It's like, well, that's one of the parts of it. But I would recommend you start reading. I imagine most of our people don't really, they that kind of thing is just dismissed, and it well should be. But a couple good books, and actually they both have the same exact name. One is called both called Fascism. One is by Stanley Payne. The other one is by Paul Gottfried. Those are certainly worth reading to get your idea of that and realize that, no, a society or a political campaign that promotes Christian, Catholic, family values, not fascist. And you know, these people want to paint us with this brush. They have this Antifa. They're so-called anti-fascists. Well, there's no fascists around here. They don't exist in the United States. But these people, what they call live-action role-play as these hooligans, these people need to disappear from society. Our side needs to rise up against these folks. And I don't think we can do it politically. We can do it in the culture. And we need more people like Dr. Taylor Marshall standing up for us. You know, I heard somebody say the other day, they don't believe too much in the silent majority. And that was a term coined by Pat Buchanan, speaking of, in the Nixon campaigns, that we have the silent majority. And then Nixon went on to landslide victories because of the silent majority that was sick and tired of this countercultural left. Well, now we are the counterculture. The left is the dominant culture. We are the counterculture. I don't know that there's a silent majority of us, the countercultural right, if you will. I don't even know if that's a proper way to analyze that. But I don't know either if there's a silent majority. There is certainly a silent large minority of us that can swing things culturally, politically, what have you. I believe more in the cultural realm than the political realm, but I think we have to have some of our people in the political realm too. Where does that leave us? Well, if we have a silent majority or not, there's certainly a good enough chunk of our people to turn things around. And I guess this is a call to action for today, other than going to briandeolary.com and signing up for your daily emails and to get this podcast right in your inbox every day. But I would say that the call to action today is to start something like this. Not a presidential campaign necessarily. God bless you if you do. But man, you got a lot of headaches in front of you. But start a blog, start a podcast, start an email list, forward your stuff on to us. See if we can help you out, because that's the only way we're going to triumph in this culture. It is, like I said, a devolved culture. And the only way we're going to get out of the morass is with more people like you that are going to be there when it counts and take things seriously. Take your family seriously. Take the culture you live in seriously. Like I've said, I'm largely unengaged with the culture at large. This weekend is somewhat special with sports and everything as being part of this culture. I have kind of moved away. As many of you know, I started out in this realm podcasting primarily about sports, writing about sports a lot. And as the culture has devolved, I didn't quite see all the writing on the wall, but the culture has devolved significantly over the last several years. And things like this, be enjoyable to sit and watch an important golf tournament on television. It's a minor thing, but I believe, I don't know, it means something to me. And I wish that the NBA playoffs and the NBA finals, which I watched a few minutes of, same thing with the NHL playoffs. I'm with the whole Major League Baseball, which is generally my favorite sport, hardly watch anymore. I mean, the whole deal with the LA Dodgers, their whole Baphomet All-Star routine, that is unbecoming of a serious culture. They draping everything in these rainbow flags. I love rainbows. I love rainbows. I don't particularly enjoy what the rainbow has come to mean over the last few years. Yeah, we all have friends with any number of the choices that they've made in their lives, and fine. I can't really judge people too much for that, but promoting this stuff for an entire month is just utterly ridiculous. I mean, getting back to my point, because I got to go here momentarily, but getting back to my point is that Dr. Taylor Marshall stands up against firmly, and he's worth checking out. I was just looking at his website. He hasn't dropped a podcast, and I was wondering why I haven't heard him, but I don't know if that has to do with the political campaign or whatever, but he's certainly a fella that, if you haven't heard him or listened to him, he calls himself just a dad with a webcam. He's got 8 kids, he's got a webcam, does podcasts. He's worth checking out. And if nothing else, at least look into his message. Anyway, that got a little too far, too long today. I will let you go. Thanks for listening. We will be back with you soon enough, but go to briandoleary.com. Sign up for our email list. The O'Leary Letter is what you'll get. And we will talk to you soon enough. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.